This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we'll let you guess which one did what.
That's right. I have to say, though, the moon has a great view.
Yeah, yeah, but a crappy runway.
Yeah, no atmosphere either.
And there's no food service at the airport. But anyway.
We are going to take a slight change in our course here. And we have a new interviewer who's going to do some stuff for us here. We have Piper Wells, and she interviewed, Amelia Rose Earhart. She just flew a single-engine plane, a Pilatus, wasn't it?
Yep.
Around the world.
Youngest woman, apparently, to create that. And I don't know if she actually duplicated the route of the real Amelia Earhart, but we may find out in the interview.
So here is Piper Wells talking to Amelia Rose Earhart.
I'm Piper Wells, here for EAA Radio. Right now, I'm here with Amelia Rose Earhart, who is the namesake for the famous Amelia Earhart. Your namesake flew a modified twin-engine Lockheed Electra, which gave her a range of 4,000 miles. You chose a Pilatus, which is a single-engine airplane that has an impressive range of 1,500 miles, but is still far short of 4,000 miles. Why did you choose the Pilatus, and did you modify it to make your trip safer?
So we chose the Pilatus because of the one engine that it had on board, which is the Pratt & Whitney PT6. It's incredibly reliable. It's very safe. But when it came to the airplane, the avionics inside the Pilatus are amazing. We've got synthetic vision. We've got dual GPS systems. And just all the tools that Amelia didn't have, you know, when she was flying in 1937. So we wanted to complete the flight with today's technology. But you mentioned the range, which was, you know, of course, not as long as we needed to get us between Hawaii and Oakland. So we added an extra fuel tank in the back of the aircraft, which got our nautical mile range up to 2,500.
Flying around the world can be dangerous, as we recently saw in the tragic death of 17-year-old Babar Salman. Were there any scary moments for you during your trip, and what made this journey worth the risk for you?
So first of all, I want to give my condolences to the Salman family, and when I think about their flight taking place, you know, it really was with a spirit of adventure, and they were doing it for charity. So I want to say that, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with their family. But what makes it worth the adventure and makes it worth the risk is the feeling that I get when I'm up in the airplane, which is true adventure, true passion. I feel that I'm completely focused when I'm in the airplane. It's my favorite place to be. And I also want to inspire young girls like you to learn to fly. And so when I think about the foundation and the potential there, which is raising money to put high school age girls through flight school, it's all about creating a passion in people that makes it easy for them to wake up in the morning and just jump out of bed.
Amelia Earhart always encouraged girls to dream big. What message do you have for young girls like myself?
Basically, if it's in your heart, any sort of goal, if it's in your heart, you absolutely must pursue it. No matter how hard it is, no matter how tough people say it's going to be, and there will be people out there who are negative about your ideas, negative about your goals, and you just have to brush them aside and just stick with it. Because last year, you know, the plane, it looked nothing like this. The plane wasn't even made at this point last year. And now here I am sitting at this table with you a year later, and we flew all the way around the world, around the equator. So we crossed the equator 6 times. So I would say, get out there, pursue those goals, you know, do what makes you happy, because if you're doing that, then you're already on the right track.
Piper Wells for EAA Radio.
This is Digital Dave. That was Piper Wells talking to Amelia Earhart, which I wonder how long people have wanted to complete that flight.
Oh, I'd say it's been a goal for people for years.
And she finally did it. All right. And we're going to have another Piper Wells interview, this time with astronaut Charlie Precourt.
Piper Wells here for EAA Radio. Right now I'm here with astronaut and past shuttle commander Charlie Precourt. You and I are both from Utah. It is a huge honor for me to interview you. You have flown in the space shuttle on 4 missions. On your first mission, you were in what NASA calls a mission specialist, but you did not pilot the shuttle. What did you do on your first mission?
Well, thanks. That's a good question. There are a number of crew positions on every crew that flies: commander, pilot, and mission specialists, and then sometimes payload specialists. So a mission specialist's job is to manage the systems on orbit. In that particular flight, we actually had round-the-clock operations, so the crew was split into two, and I was a mission specialist that actually ran the night shift. So while the commander and pilot slept, I was in charge of the shuttle, running all the systems, piloting it, and I did do some piloting activities on orbit because of the nature of that kind of mission. So every flight, mission specialists do things like spacewalks, manage systems, run experiments, and so forth. So my role was to run the shuttle on orbit while the scientists in the space laboratory did their experiments.
On your last two missions, you were the shuttle commander. What does a shuttle commander do, and what were some of your favorite activities as a commander?
Yeah, the commander is in charge of the whole mission, so he has to make sure that all the other crew are trained and that each of the crew members is given the right jobs to do. And the commander is responsible for flying the shuttle on launch and on reentry, as well as, in my case, I had to do the dockings with the space station. So there's a lot of work the commander does to make sure everybody's job is getting done correctly and that each astronaut is trained to do them. So,
lots of kids dream of being an astronaut, including me. I've been interested in being an astronaut since the third grade when a kid named Kelton told me about the Mars mission, so I've always wanted to go to Mars. You are one of only 500 people ever to go to space. What advice do you have for young boys and girls who want to be an astronaut?
Well, the most important thing is that you have a passion for learning, and it sounds like you do. And what I found was that school opened up an opportunity to discover what area of science or math or engineering you were best and most interested in. And where you can find through school the items that you're most interested in, you find yourself wanting to learn more about them, and then you become more expert at those. And then as you become more expert, you become the person that people turn to when they need to know about that area of interest. So you just have to use school to become a really big expert and then go find work to train to be the best expert you can in that field, whether it be astronomy, piloting, engineering, design engineering, scientific work, being a medical doctor, all those disciplines. If you can be the best at it because you are most passionate about it, you'll have the skills that are needed to join the astronaut program.
I just listened to you speak on a panel about going to Mars. Why do you think it is important that man goes to Mars, and do you think this will happen in my lifetime?
Well, it is very important. And first, before I answer why, I will say that it will happen in your lifetime. There's no doubt in my mind. It's important because when we as a country or as humanity on the whole globe try to do things that haven't been done before, we are in fact problem solving. We're trying to do things that haven't been done, and we have to solve problems to make that happen. And problem solvers make life better for all of us. So the inspiration of taking on a challenge and making it work and solving problems along the way always results in better life for all of us here on Earth. So it's very important we do this.
Changing the topic back to EAA, you fly very easy. What does experimental and general aviation mean to you and your family?
Well, you know, experimental aircraft is a way for everyone to enjoy the passion of flight, and to be able to actually build your own airplane with your own hands, understand it intimately, and to actually fly it is something that is extremely rewarding. Not everyone takes on that challenge, but those that do always find it to be really, really rewarding. My kids got to fly with me in the airplane. They enjoyed the fact that it was ours, that we had created it, and we fly it together, and it was just a really rewarding experience. I didn't really need to build an airplane to be able to fly because I flew for the Air Force, but I wanted to learn about what makes airplanes tick, how they are put together, why you use certain materials, how much of those materials you need, how strong it has to be, how you test it, how you put it together, how do you maintain it. All those things were really of interest to me because I was flying machines for my work that other people were taking care of. And so this helped me to learn more about what they did in their role in aviation. So for anybody who's really interested in flying, a home-built project is a really wonderful thing.
You are the father of three daughters, Michelle, Sarah, and Amy. When when you graduated from the Air Force Academy in 1977, women were not even allowed at the academy. Do you feel the world of aviation and space exploration is now fully open to girls? And what advice do you have for young girls like myself who might want to go to Mars one day?
Well, actually, women started joining the classes at the Air Force Academy in my senior year. The transition for women has been really good. Now they're fully integrated into the military services, and most of the the occupations and specialties are open to them. They're fighter pilots, they're Thunderbird pilots. There are all kinds of positions that women can take on. And it's made all of the organizations stronger because of the diversity of the people who participate. And so all I can tell you from an advice standpoint is don't fear that something is closed to you. Pursue it if it's of interest to you. If it's your interest, it's your passion, and you should learn as much as you can to grow that passion and take advantage of it. You can do whatever you like. You really can.
My guest today has been Charlie Precourt, astronaut and former shuttle commander. Thank you for joining me today, Charlie. For EA Radio, I'm Piper Wells.